Welcome to the Edge Shift podcast with Katie Novak.
Really around this idea of like research and strategies and people doing interesting things.
And Chris Astle.
Doing what's best for kids, like putting kids at the center.
Our goal at Edge Shift is to dive into educational trends and practices and to connect you with educators and innovators around the world who are committed in subtle and in grand ways to shifting the fabric of education. Check out the show notes for ways to connect with us and our guests.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Edge Shift podcast. Chris and I are super excited to be joined by two amazing educators today to talk a little bit about their journeys in the classroom and actually returning to the classroom. After being out of the classroom for a little while, I think we are reading lots and talking lots about teachers leaving the classroom. How about going back to the classroom? So I'm really excited, joined today by Judy and by Kristen. So I'll turn it over to you ladies and let you introduce yourselves to our listeners. Judy, how about you first?
My name is Judy and I am a science teacher at the high school. I am in Grants Pass, Southern Oregon, and I had been up in Portland teaching. I taught for 20 years middle school. So I taught for 20 years and then I left for 20 years, started my own business, and now I'm back. So I'm excited to discuss all the changes that I've seen and why I came back. And I mean, it's been a good, the 20 years has allowed for a lot of changes to happen. And so I feel like I can be a really good barometer of what happened before and what's happening now.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Thank you, Judy. And Kristen, I'll share a little bit about yourself and your journey.
Sure. I'm originally from Arizona. That's where I got my teaching degrees. And I spent several years on the Navajo Nation working in special education. And I ended up moving to Portland, tried to get back into teaching. This was like right at the beginning of like the Great Recession. So this is like 2007, 2008, it didn't work out. And I ended up going into educational software sales. And I've been in educational sales for really just from then until very recently, and decided to go back into education. I'm going back into special education. I'm up here in Portland Public Schools, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to finalize my position at one of the elementary schools I had interviewed at, that's really close to my house, as a special education teacher for the emotional behavior room.
So this is so exciting. And what is most kind of dear to my heart about this episode is, so Kristen and I moved to Portland area about the same time with
yes,
exactly the same goals, which were to get into teaching there. And it was kind of it was a different time. And so we both found ourselves moving into this kind of ed tech space instead. And then I know Judy from my time in Portland as well, because I actually worked for her when she was running her business. So I know these two amazing people as hard workers, as community builders. And when I think about what we're seeing right now in education, we're seeing a lot of teachers leaving, and we're seeing even more headlines about the teachers that are leaving and about the shortages. And both of you are kind of working in those spaces, so science and special education, where we've seen a lot of them. And so can you tell us a little bit about when did you wake up and say, hey, I want to go back into the classroom? And like, what was the pathway that got you there? Judy, why don't you go first?
Well, mine started with, I had been running a barn teaching kids how to ride, and I thought that was a great path from education, and it was a great 20 years, but I felt like I had gone as far as I could, and I had been hearing, like we all have been hearing, that teachers were leaving, and I thought, well, I'll just step back into it for a while and see what it feels like. So I started up in Portland Public subbing, and I really enjoyed my time there. Definitely a lot of big changes, a lot of burnt out teachers. And so I subbed a lot because there was a lot of people leaving. And I ended up becoming a long-term sub for a woman going on maternity leave who never returned for science. And I was shocked at all the conversations I heard all the time about teachers being burnt out. My current position, I came down to Southern Oregon. There was a huge need. All their entire science department left last year. And so I came as kind of the veteran teacher to help all these new teachers, because they're brand new teachers who they also got the job. And so my job as a veteran was to kind of help them acclimate. Well, one's leaving this week. And so it's the struggle is real. There's a lot of stress. And having not been in school during the COVID time, I kind of don't understand it, but I appreciate that it's real to them.
I definitely want to come back to the stressors and those pieces there. But Kristen, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your journey first, and then we'll dive into some of the day-to-day of being back in the classroom.
Yeah, really, it came down to I was super inspired by my daughter's school. I have two daughters now. So I have my oldest is 11 years old, and she goes to middle school pretty close to us. And there was like an incident at school, and long story short, just got into a conversation with the dean of students, and he had this really long heart to heart with me about what the state of education was in general, like in the district and then at the school, and how many teachers they've lost, like how much of a need there was for substitutes. And I just, you know, I had been going back and forth because I had actually gone on an extended maternity leave as well. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, like what's my next step? You know, like, do I feel like, you know, going back into educational sales, which, you know, I've done forever. And as you know, like if you're in it, you know, once you've like done it for a while, you just kind of get to know everybody. And so you can kind of easily step into, you know, position. I started looking at like different products that interested me and just starting to like put feelers out there. But then I had, like I said, I had this conversation with the dean of students at my daughter's school, and I was talking to my husband later that night, kind of crying and saying like, I cannot believe like this is how things are. Oh my gosh. You know, like there's such like a desperate need for teachers and, you know, special education teachers specifically, and they've lost so many people. And so that's when I started to think more seriously, like, okay, well, am I ready to go back into the classroom? Like, is that like a skill set? Do I still feel like I even have that? You know, because I've been teaching adults for a while too, but that's completely different. And, you know, do I still have the teaching chops, as it were, you know, to like step back into that? And they've been so kind to me, like throughout the entire process, you know, like people checking in and, you know, really encouraging me, especially with like licensing, getting my licensing up to speed again, which has taken forever with TSPC. But I'm sure you have something to say about that, Judy. That's kind of like what got me initially going, was just, you know, realizing that, you know, literally like right down the street from me, there's like such a huge need for teachers. And that's really what got me out of like the mindset of like going back into, I guess, like corporate life.
It's awesome. I love how both of you like saw the problem and just jumped in to solve it. Katie, I'll let you ask a question before I just monopolize conversation.
I want to reflect that back and really commend both of you on your courage. I mean, I think it speaks to who most teachers are at their core. But the fact that, you know, you were both like, wow, stuff is like really not good. And I'm gonna go back and be part of stuff not being good. And I'm gonna, you know, do what I can to make my community a little bit better. And I think that that is so courageous and so commendable. So I just wanna take a moment to reflect that back to each of you. I think that's amazing. So what would you say are the things that feel the most different, or what are things that you thought would feel different that are actually the same now that you're back in the classroom?
That's a good question. I know for me, when I say like the kids are different, I mean, a lot of them, a lot of the kids that I've been working with specifically, you know, I feel like the systems failed them, especially during COVID. Like these were kids that needed certain, you know, like access to paras and I don't know, just like a whole host of, you know, support services that they did not get access to during COVID. And so, you know, I'm seeing kind of kids that are a little lost, that didn't need to be, you know, lost. And I think that there's kind of, there's a frustration point, like on the side of like the teachers, absolutely, but also on the side of the students as well. And, you know, seeing them kind of understand that, you know, they have every right to be frustrated with, you know, how they were treated, you know, during COVID, and they definitely are very aware of like, you know, hey, I lost out on, you know, a couple of years. And so the kids have like this awareness that I wasn't expecting, I guess, like going back into it, because like obviously my teaching experience is from, you know, very long ago. And so I was really surprised to actually even like talk to some of these kids that have had this experience. I don't know. They were just very aware, I guess. That was surprising.
Do they feel like they're more grown up, like they're facing bigger, more adult challenges because they know what they've missed out on than maybe the students we saw in the classroom a decade or more ago?
Absolutely. No, like I said, it's like, I think that, you know, adults are also having like these kinds of conversations, but like one of the classes that I was teaching in yesterday, we were literally, you know, breaking down, you know, like introductory paragraphs that we were writing to the superintendent of, you know, PPS, like asking him to come and talk to students like at the school so we can get more of a perspective, like what's actually happening in these schools, like why are students frustrated, you know, and this is like supposed to be like an outlet for them. And so I just thought that was just very interesting that these are like sixth graders that are writing these very detailed, you know, like ELA students even, you know, like very detailed letters, you know, that they, you know, are putting a lot of heart into and a lot of truth into. And so I guess I'm not trying to say that students, you know, back in the day didn't have that like capacity, but I think that students deal with a lot more, I don't know, just like very like the realities a lot more now that we're kind of in this like post-COVID era. Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting talking to them about what their feelings were about it.
Well, if I can segue with your last part as far as how students are feeling, I see two big things that are a big change from 20 years ago. And one is kids have a lot greater awareness and empathy for kids who are different, whether it's the LGBTQ group or Black Lives Matter or special needs kids. They are so much more kind, which is nothing I would ever have said in my past. I mean, they appreciate differences. And so that is a really big positive thing to me. Mm-hmm. But there's also a big group of kids. I see a lot more depression and anxiety and school avoidance. And I really think a lot of that is due to being online, cell phones, social media, all of that. And they feel a little fatalistic about their future, you know? Mm-hmm. The earth isn't going to be around any longer. Is why do I need to do this? Or that, you know, it's impossible to get a job that affords you a house anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of anxiety with that, and I get it. So those are the biggest things that I have seen in kids emotionally, positive and negative. For me, coming back into teaching, the biggest change in my learning curve has been super steep. I'm from the day of overhead projectors, and now I have smart boards and two cameras that I'm always projecting off of. And oh my goodness, I mean, gone are my reel-to-reel films that I do. Now I YouTube videos. And I mean, my learning curve has been huge in it, and just everything online. And that it's been super fun. I've been able to be so much more creative with the searching that I do and finding lesson plans at the tip of my finger and really cool videos rather than my old reel to reel ones.
So those are that YouTube is, now.
Exactly. So that, I think, has been really powerful. I think it's changed learning. It's no longer memorizing stuff, because you don't need to memorize anymore. Why would you memorize? You can just, it's at the tip of your fingers. So it's changed learning substantially in, I think, really positive ways. For me, it's been painful, but
no, I agree. No, like we used to do, I remember like Chris and I, we used to do like a whole spiel when we were talking about interactive whiteboards, you know, why is that important? Why is it like, well, just in general, why is it so important to bring tech into the classroom? And we'd bring up like it was like an advertisement or something, or like a video from 80s, 90s, and then compare it to, oh, I cannot remember. There's some guy on like C-SPAN. He's like doing like all like the like tickers, like for, I don't know, just like news. And like, there's just like all this like background noise. There's like colors flashing. And so you compare it, you know, like how much information is being thrown at people now, and specifically kids, compared to, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And it's completely different. It's completely different, right? And so for, as a teacher, you know, it's funny because like, so I, you know, would explain that when I was in sales, like how important it is like to use tech in the classroom, right? And now I have to again. And so it can be like, so, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning a little bit.
I'm glad
and I used to sell it.
Well, if you think about it, like, so Katie and I have talked about in some episodes before about this kind of need to develop this like digital fluency where kids are able to kind of navigate the different pieces of technology that are out there and know how to kind of pick and choose and select the most appropriate tool to get the job done. And when we talk about the fluency piece, you know, it reminds us that it's kind of like a language that you have to speak, and you're, you know, you're acquiring it. And it's just like acquiring a language when you're older. You're like wiring new things into your brain. You're making new connections. And like, you guys aren't wrong. Like, it is really hard. And also like our kids are there, and there's kind of this like meeting them where they are, and then helping them learn how to manage tech appropriately, I think, is that right. Other big piece.
Yeah, so, no, that's like a large part of it actually is, you know, now you have to like, you know, yes, like they can do Chromebooks, but you know, you have to know how to get their focus on, you know, like what you're going over in Canvas and turning off like all these other like apps. And I forgot about that the other day. And like, man, they're so engaged. I'm like, no, they're not. They're all playing video games. Like, I was feeling really good for like 15 minutes and then... realize what was going on.
So you guys have both cited tech as one of the big challenges. Let's talk a little bit about like, what are some of the stressors that you're seeing in there that are maybe causing some of the teachers to leave? And Judy, you shared that you're kind of mentoring some new teachers who are coming in. Like, what is happening? What feels different when it comes to stress levels outside of just the technology that is maybe making teaching harder than it used to be?
I need to ponder that because I'm not exactly quite sure. I feel like the kids behaviorally are really good and they're easy to navigate. Always been unending. I mean, it's always been a full-time job that you took home. Call parents when you get home. Do the grading when you get home. So I keep watching and trying to figure out what is it that everybody's so stressed about. And I have to think it's probably because I missed a COVID chapter, and that
you don't have that level of exhaustion coming with you.
I think it's perhaps the level of exhaustion and having to learn how to teach online with no time to spare, I'm sure was super stressful. And then the uncertainty and navigating what became a hybrid, I think that also didn't feel like things were normal again. Because I keep hearing teachers say, finally, we're normal again. But I think you're probably right. I think they just reached a burnout that they have not yet recovered from. And I won't say, you know, I mean, clearly there's still teachers here, but the turnover is like nothing I've ever seen before. I mean, teachers used to stay at one school their whole career. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not anymore. It's constantly changing, constantly trying to find a new school or a new principal or whoever to work under, I think, to reduce the stress. So I feel like I come in kind of like a voyeur, trying to figure out where is this all coming from.
Do you feel that parents, like your interactions with parents are different? We've certainly seen, if you read the news, it feels like parents are more involved and perhaps not in always positive ways. Like, do you see that? Do you feel that?
At the district I was in last year, which was in Central Oregon in Bend, a lot of what we now have dubbed snowplow parents. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I
love
thought
that.
It was perfect. They're parents who just are pushing all the troubles out of the way, rather than letting kids learn how to advocate and learn on their own. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of that in Central Oregon. And yeah, that's exhausting, dealing with parents who just don't want their kids to have bumps in life, right? Because we all
experience adversity.
That's where you learn.
Yep. I think that's kind of, I don't know. I definitely experienced that when I was still in the classroom. So maybe it's escalating, but yeah, it could just depend on location as well. Kristen, what can you share from what you've seen and what you feel could be kind of contributing when it comes to stressors?
Well, I'll say that, I mean, as far as like parents, like circling back to that, like all I have experienced so far has been a lot of support from parents, actually. And I think it's because they feel like, oh my gosh, there are so many teachers leaving, you know, and I think that a lot of parents, especially of students with like special needs, are just really desperate to, you know, have someone stay in the same location. And so, you know, like I can't speak for like all grade levels or, you know, like all, you know, everything that's being taught, but I know like for special education specifically, that's been my experience, but that's always kind of been a position where, you know, you work really hand in hand with parents. So, you know, that's not necessarily like new, but I think there is like a lot more camaraderie now with being like post COVID. And again, it's like the burnout, I think a lot of it does have to do with, you know, we've kind of like hit a lull almost like in this post-COVID era where things were chaotic. Things are really, you know, stressing people out. People are getting creative. You know, I know like my daughter's teacher was driving by with like pencils and little packages and, you know, like all of her homework. And, you know, so we've gotten closer to like a sense of normalcy, except that I think some people are kind of waking up to, you know, like rethinking, like, I don't know if this is, after all that, you know, you want to stay committed, but then after you kind of wake up, you're like, is this worthwhile still, you know, with everything that I've spent on this, like emotionally and, you know, with my family and all that. And that, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing, you know, for people to go through. But yeah, like the burnout is pretty crazy, especially here in Portland. I can definitely say that. And as far as like the subs, there is not a school that I go to that doesn't have like a stack of, especially like at the high school, there'll be like 10, 15 like sub positions unfilled, you know, like yeah, for the day. So Yeah.
So you guys have both called out some really interesting things that are kind of part of this journey and part of what makes you successful and also part of what may be causing the stressors. And one is like, there was so much emotional commitment during COVID, like teachers maxed out on the creativity. There was a bit of this like forcing themselves to be the hero and do everything possible to help these students, which kind of speaks to some of the other things you guys have called out on, like, you know, the importance of relationships, how being successful in the classroom is hinging on these relationships with parents and with students. And Judy, to your point, like, kids mess up. We got to love them for it and let them do it and let them dig their way out of that. And so giving the space for that. And so it feels like a little bit, some of this is kind of like, we ran up this mountain and we got to the top. And the vista wasn't quite what we thought it was going to be. And now we got to go back down and we're just kind of slodging back there and nobody's applauding and no one's supporting us. And so a lot of this feels very, very emotional. And where I see, it seems like you guys are feeling successes with really kind of building and nurturing those relationships. Does that feel true to your experiences?
Very true. In even at our opening year, when our superintendent spoke to all of us, he said, my priority is that you connect with kids. Don't be so concerned about what you teach the kids, just connect to them, you know, help them rebuild, help rebuild relationships with kids, because that's what keeps them in school anyways. And so that's been really empowering to know that, okay, so I can take the time to connect with each kid every period all day long and not be so driven by my curriculum.
I wish for every teacher to have that mandate, for every teacher to be told that by their superintendent. That's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, there's a lot more emphasis put on rebuilding trust in the system, you know, like as much as you can, I suppose. But, you know, it's more, hey, we're here to, you know, work together. Like I know, like for a fact, you know, like there was like there's a huge also like paraeducator shortage in PPS. And, you know, they've been having a lot of public forums on that. There's a lot more transparency and call to discuss like these issues with the community. I've seen a lot of that being advertised. They just had one specifically for like the middle school that my daughter goes to. And that's like a huge difference. I don't think that I would have seen that, you know, 15, 18 years ago, like when I was teaching. I don't know if there would have been like that big of a call to invite voices, you know, not just like parents, but, you know, other people that, you know, have an vested interest like in education in the community. So yeah, no, like rebuilding trust, like, and especially being a little bit more visible, I think, with some of the struggles. I've seen a lot more of that.
I like that. So what are some things you guys could maybe share with teachers in the classroom now, or teachers are heading back in? You both have some successful strategies. Are there things you do that you feel like are helping you succeed that you could share with teachers, or advice you could give to administrators when they're trying to recruit great teachers to their buildings?
Oh, I'd love to share a couple.
All right. I like it.
Started taking classes at, it's called Heritage Institute. And I took a lot of classes on connecting with kids, not letting kids fall through the cracks, connecting with the kid who drives you crazy. And I really took it to heart and used a lot of the strategies from these classes, and it's made a world of difference. So just that connection is everything. I mean, I feel like I could teach almost anything and it would be successful as long as I did that. So, I mean, that if I had anything to say, it was build the relationships. That if you don't have a relationship, especially I think at the middle school or high school, then they won't do anything for you. I mean, the hardworking kids who are goal-oriented will, but the other ones won't.
Right. Yeah. The kids who would learn from home regardless, but those other kids who are struggling to find that connection to school and how it connects to their future and where they're going. And the relationship is the first key to that. I love that.
Yeah. And I have a science club that meets after school one day a week.
I want to come to your science club.
And it's all the kids that you would never think would want to come to school longer, and especially in an academic class. And mm-hmm. it's like, I got all the naughty boys in it, and it's hysterical.
Like, are you blowing stuff up or catching it on fire? Like, what's your draw?
We're not even doing really exciting things. I think they just, having built that relationship, they know I care. And so they come because they know I care. So again, just back to building the relationship. It really, really works. And the advice I would give to all districts across the entire country, the district I'm in went to a 4-day week. So our days are a little bit longer, but they knew for teacher mental health and for kids, because my kids come they're on the bus for about an hour.
Okay. And yeah, because you're pretty rural in your location, right?
Very rural. But I'm telling you, the mindset, the ability to teach really energetically for 4 days, it's night and day difference between 5. I don't think I could do 5 again. It's amazing. Ah. I keep telling my principal, you need to spread the word, because I think, I mean, it's part of why I came down here, is I thought, I can do that. 4 days, I can do that. Yeah.
I love it. Awesome. Kristen, yeah. What about you?
Well, like I said, I'm still pretty new coming back into the
classroom. But you're succeeding. You're here. You're coming back every day. And I mean, let's not, you know, what you're doing is hard, because building the relationships is even tougher when you're kind of like parachuting in and, you know, seeing different groups of students every day. So, you know, we can't discount that. And you've got some kind of magic sauce because you're still doing it and you're smiling about it.
Well, honestly, like the biggest difference, like just for my mental health, has been, you know, administration actually being like super supportive. And, you know, I have this one principal where, you know, she comes around and checks on me, not like in a way of like, how's it going in here? But, you know, really, I mean, like when I speak to her, I feel like she's very concerned with, you know, like where all of her teachers are, like always checking in to see like what is it that we need, you know, like having, again, you know, like very honest conversations about where you're at. And, you know, I would definitely say, like, back in the day, you know, I was like, nope, everything's great. I love my job and everything's fine. So, you know, and I don't feel like I can't have a hard conversation with her, you know, and that, I think that's like the big difference, is like, I feel like I can be very honest without, you know, repercussion of like, oh, well, you know, she said this about, you know, like this program or something. You know, it's, I've felt like very, very supported by everyone that I've worked with so far. And even like the people that, you know, work in administration at my daughter's school, that's initially what got me interested in teaching again. I'm like, man, if other administrators are like you at other schools, like I could definitely see, you know, myself like working for you. And, you know, like I think that there's been, you know, a large push towards being, yeah, like more focused on like supporting teachers in the classroom at this point, like just from like an emotional standpoint, you know, and really making sure that people are comfortable and, you know, feeling like they're being looked after, not just supported, but like people are like actively like looking after them and sticking up for them, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's the administration supporting the teacher, giving teachers voice, having them being seen, building that relationship so that can kind of trickle down and then flow from teacher to student as well. I like it. Katie, as we kind of wrap up, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask?
I don't think so. I think, you know, you've shared so many insights and, you know, ideas. I've just been sitting here thinking how much I appreciate the time and energy. As you know, the four of us are having this conversation. Two of us are in cars, parked, not moving cars, parked cars. You know, Judy, but I'm assuming you're still in your classroom.
I am.
Yeah, at the end of the day. And I just, Chris, I know you're in your living room. Appreciate so much the time and energy, you know, to have the conversation and to share. And maybe one final question. You know, Kristen, you mentioned when we first started chatting, I think before we started recording, you were talking to a friend who said, well, are you going to give advice for teachers who want to leave? So let's maybe come back there. And if we haven't, you know, if we haven't convinced anyone listening by this point, what would you say to the teacher that's going like, oof, I think I gotta get out of here?
Well, you know, disclaimer, no, if teachers leave, you cannot say that, well, Kristen said this, and I feel empowered not to leave. No, but I mean, I think that's a really good conversation, like, to have, like, with, you know, people, especially, like, you know, I don't know about, like, where you guys are at, but I know, like, Portland, Seattle, these areas are seeing heavy, heavy layoffs right now, you know, especially being, like, in the tech field. And I think that, like, I know I have a friend, for instance, who is an educator currently. Her husband has just been laid off, and she's thinking of leaving teaching mainly because she wants to step into the role of being, you know, like, the main, you know, financial supporter of, like, the family, you know, while he goes back to school at this point. And so, you know, like, she started asking me, like, well, what would you, like, tell somebody, you know, like, to look out for as they're thinking of leaving teaching and going into, like, the corporate world? And I think, like, the number one thing that I would recommend is wherever, you know, you're thinking of going, do yourself and do a 30, 60, 90 with yourself, like, on that place. And, you know, like, really figure out, like, what are my goals after leaving this position, going to somewhere new? And, like, what does that position look like for me in 30 days, in 60 days, and in 90 days? And see if that narrative fits what you feel comfortable going into, you know, because that's a huge shift, like, going from teaching to any other job, especially corporate life. It's completely different, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, like, when you've just done something for so long, you know, the grass is always greener, you know, kind of effect. And, you know, like, putting yourself in that position and really thinking about, like, well, what is, like, my day-to-day going to look like, you know? I think that really helps people, actually. And I even told Shauna that. We were talking about Shauna. She was, she's a nurse now. And so she was interviewing for, you know, a different position. And I told her the same thing, like, you know, do like a plan for yourself, like, in that new position, and then even, like, present it, you know, to the folks that are interviewing you, you know, so that they can, you know, also see how, you know, you fit into, you know, like, this new position. And she said that it worked so well. Like, everyone, you know, was, like, very appreciative of that. And she felt super confident talking about, you know, stepping into that new role. So I don't know, like, do due diligence and, you know, really, I guess, like, research, you know, how different things will be.
I like that. Follow your passion and know what you're getting into. That is completely solid advice that I think, you know, yes, everyone can say, Kristen told us this.
Bye, teaching.
or hey, maybe, you know what? I try to map that out, and I think I'm a stay here. I'm a stay in the classroom.
Right, exactly.
You know, I think that exercise, regardless of how it turns out, is valuable for anyone and probably something that all of us should be doing every couple of years anyway. It's fantastic advice.
Checking it. What about you, Judy, before we wrap up, any advice you would give if someone's wavering about staying or going in education or coming back, wavering anywhere, what would be the advice you'd give them?
Well, specifically with teachers, I think the very nature of teacher is we tend to put others' needs ahead of our own.
For sure.
And I think that contributes to the burnout. And we're really hard on ourselves when we can't reach or when we don't feel we're at full capacity. So taking the time, maybe take the time off for a little bit and just reboot and be kinder to yourself. I personally find that there's so much positivity in education now. Kids thank me when they leave the room. I mean, that didn't happen before. So it is a feel good place, but I do understand teachers may need time to reboot. And I don't know how you teach teachers not to be hard on themselves or give it all, but I think that's where a lot of that burnout comes from. But it feels like it's a place that we're really needed. And at this point, I feel really appreciated both by kids and my administration and parents. So it is a good place to be. It feels good, but maybe stepping away and rebooting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Giving yourself permission to just take what you need and take some space for yourself. I think that's also very solid advice. Well, I have absolutely loved this conversation. I really appreciate that both of you took time out of your busy days to chat with Katie and I. And yeah, we look forward to maybe checking in with you guys later and seeing how things are going and evolving.
Super exciting. I think we might just have to have you back for another discussion once your book is out and we get a chance to read it and invite you back. So we will look forward to that.
Person though.
Thanks for listening to the EdShift podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review. If you don't love it, let us know how we can make it better for you. You can connect with us by email or on social media anytime. Remember to check the show notes for resources, links, and connections with our guests, along with bonus lesson content connected to each episode's conversation. Thanks for being here and connecting with us.